Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Before we jump into this soulful episode, I want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by my accredited program, Ayurveda Alchemist. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda holistic health coach. Ayurveda Alchemist is for women who are ready to embark on an epic personal development journey, immersing themselves in the wisdom of Ayurveda, learning how to optimize their health and well-being by addressing all aspects of self, including their physical body, mental and emotional health, and spirituality, whilst wholeheartedly stepping into their dharma, their purpose. This program is also for women who would love to get started with a fulfilling career in Ayurveda, and for already established health, wellness, and life coaches who want to create greater impact by offering a holistic framework that gets their clients exceptional and holistic results. This certification is what you need to step into the high-level practitioner that you were born to be and stand out from the coaching crowd. You will experience undeniable growth personally and professionally. You will be mentored by highly qualified facilitators, guest experts, and practitioners. Spots are strictly limited. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the lives of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to www.harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hello, and welcome back to the Harmony Inspired Health Podcast, and a big warm welcome to all of the beautiful women who are joining us live in the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood. Today we have a really awesome topic. I cannot wait to get into this. And I know I say that like nearly every time, but that's because I'm always so excited by the topics we share on this podcast and the guest experts that we do have coming to share their expertise with us. And as you know, this one is near and dear to my heart, and it is all about modern spirituality. And we're going to ask some really big questions here. So I cannot wait to introduce you to the wonderful Ina Sigal. She is the creator and visionary of Visionary Intuitive Healing and the best-selling award-winning author of The Secret Language of Your Body, The Essential Guide to Health and Wellness. She is a gifted healer and a pioneer in the field of energy medicine and human consciousness. Ina has dedicated herself to assisting others in their journey of self-healing, empowerment, and spirituality. Her practical understanding of spirituality and healing is changing the lives of millions of people all around the world, and she has just released her new book, Modern Spirituality, hence why we are talking about this topic. So welcome to the podcast, Ina.
Thank you, Harmony. Lovely to be here with you and to meet you.
Likewise. And I always start my episode off with the rapid inspiration question. So there's just three questions. The first one is, can you please inspire us with what your superpower is?
I guess my superpower is intuition and tuning into people and getting a sense both what's going on with them emotionally, physically, energetically, in terms of how they're living their life.
Beautiful. And who or what is inspiring you at the moment?
I'm deeply inspired actually by the work of Rudolf Steiner. So he's inspired me for probably the last 10 years.
Yeah, right. And what is your favorite quote or mantra if you have one?
I have to think about that one for a minute. I guess probably everything happens for a reason is something that does come out of my mouth quite a bit.
Yeah, beautiful. So to get us started, I would love to know more about who is Inna Siegel and when did your curiosity about spirituality and self-healing and the mind-body-soul connection start?
For me, I guess the curiosity really started when I was probably a teenager, and I knew that I had intuitive abilities. I just didn't know that other people didn't have them developed in the same way that I had. But essentially I was curious and interested. I remember thinking about life and death when I was six, you know, and asking my mom these questions. So I feel like it's always been there, but I've also been very skeptical, just because there's so much information out there and so many different ideas and thoughts that come, you know, to people. And then when I was still a teenager, I had a lot of health issues. So I got to a place when I was about 20, 21, where I found that I was constantly seeing somebody and I was constantly going almost daily to see a health practitioner. And I had a moment, which I think that a lot of people do, especially if they start this type of work. And the moment was when I was in agony and I went to see a chiropractor, and he actually came out and he said to me, your body's stuck, because my back was really bad and I had digestive issues and psoriasis everywhere. And I said to him, yeah, I know that part. What are you going to do about it? And he said, nothing, go home. Your body wants to be stuck. And I feel like that was a real shift for me, because that's when I really connected to my body and I guess discovered its language and discovered all the different aspects of healing, which led me to go from, you know, I want to be a writer and I want to be an actress to, oh, I'm interested in healing and understanding healing. And that led to kind of going, what is this divine spiritual wisdom and intelligence that guides us? So that's been kind of a big journey into spirituality.
Beautiful. And when the chiropractor said to you that you're really stuck in your body, at that stage, did you understand the difference between physical and energetic bodies?
No, definitely not. I didn't really understand anything. And I was, that time I was really questioning the whole idea of anything spiritual, to be honest, because I felt like, and I think that again happens a lot when you're in pain all the time and you're struggling and you don't feel like you can get relief. It feels like, you know, who can help me? You know, where can this come from? And somebody then saying, look, I can't help you. That kind of, that shook me a bit. So I didn't know anything at all.
Yeah. So it's interesting, like, what kind of sense you would have made from that when you're told that your body wants to be stuck or you want to be stuck. Do you remember the reasoning you had in your head around that?
Yeah, look, firstly, I was enraged. I have to say, I was so mad. And secondly, I felt like, you know what, it's been years, and literally it had been years. I've been going round and round in circles, going to all these different practitioners, but I was going with this attitude that they knew more than me, that they were going to help me and save me. And I just remember that moment I made a decision. I was going to heal myself. I was going to get to know myself. And that was my thought at the time.
I think it's so empowering when we do take our health into our own hands as well. And I guess we have these health practitioners as support, as guidance, and to share their wisdom, but at the end of the day, everyone's so different, their situation is so unique, and we really need to cultivate more of an understanding about ourselves, and we are the ones that are in control of our own health. So it's really empowering when we do take our health into our own hands. Just talking about those physical and energetic bodies, just for our listeners, are you able to explain to us now what you know to be the differences between physical and energetic bodies?
Yeah, absolutely. So from that moment, actually, when I ended up tuning into my own body, I realized that I awakened this ability to see this, you know, energy and to see what's going on. And I realized over time that we have, you know, and most of us are familiar with the word aura. So we're aware that we have this aura and it has different colors. And what I've realized is that this aura is actually part of our soul. And this soul within it contains something called the astral body. And the astral body is a body of desire and emotions, and every feeling essentially that we have is connected and held within this astral body that can either be refined or going crazy, you know, which then shows up physically as complete hormonal imbalance and all sorts of other, you know, digestive issues and nervous system issues and so on. And so in seeing this astral body, I kind of went, I want to know more about it and how it works. And I realized that every feeling that we have actually gives messages to the nervous system and to every other part of the body in terms of what to do and what not to do. And it could be something very healthy, or it could be something extremely unhealthy over time and weakening the body. So I found that quite fascinating. And then I realized we also have this etheric body. So I also want to say that the astral body is the body of consciousness. So everything that we're aware of consciously and often even subconsciously is quite connected to the astral body, whereas the unconscious or deeply hidden parts of us can be connected to the etheric body, which is body of memory and also the body that's connected to our ancestry. This is why we look the way that we do. It's also the body of energy or chi. So all the energy that we have goes through the etheric body. And the etheric body, unlike the astral, who's part of the aura, and if it's healthy, looks like an egg shape, the etheric body looks like a copy of physical body. And so it has an etheric heart, an etheric knee, an etheric, you know, eyes, everything. And so people who do healing work, and I've been doing it for a very long time and teaching people, when they make changes, they're always connecting and working both with the astral and the etheric bodies. And then, you know, we also have the ego body, which is where our unique sense of self lies. And a lot of people have basically taken the ego body and went, it's bad because it's egotistical, you're an egotist, you've got a big ego, all of that, without any understanding that the ego has two sides. It has the lower self, which is the egotistical part, and it has the higher self, which is, you know, your most beautiful, most compassionate, most loving, most wise and understanding aspect. And if we don't work with that and recognize it, then essentially, you know, we'll only work with the egotistical, hardened, you know, I want what I want when I want how I want part.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, there is a big misunderstanding or misconception that we have just the physical body, and then within the physical body contains our energy. And even from like the Ayurvedic perspective, what you're explaining here is what we refer to as the five koshas, the layers of the self, the body, the astral body, the energetic body, the spiritual body. And each of them plays such an important role in our health. And as you mentioned before, like when there's disharmony, it can really create hormonal imbalances, because anything that you think and you are mentally bringing up as emotions will affect the physical stress hormones in your body, which then affects the cascade of other hormone responses in the body. So there's so much interrelationship between the astral, the spiritual, the physical body. It's just that it hasn't been made aware of to the general public as much, unless you have sort of studied these sciences, which I do find extremely fascinating. So from an Ayurvedic standpoint, when we look at these five koshas in more detail, we've got the Anamaya kosha, which is what you explain as the physical body. And it's the outermost layer, which represents that physical body. And then we've got the Pranamaya kosha, which is the energy body. And you mentioned the word chi, and in Ayurveda, we talk about the word prana. So they're very similar in meaning. And then the Manamaya kosha, which is the mental body, and the Vijnanamaya kosha, which is the wisdom body, and then the Anandamaya kosha, which is the bliss body. And to be able to have this optimal health and well-being, we need to be able to address all five of these bodies of self to be able to achieve that and to get to that Anandamaya kosha, that, you know, sort of bliss body. So yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. I wanted to talk a little bit about your book, The Secret Language of the Body. It's actually, I have referenced your book in the Ayurveda Alchemist program and in my metaphysics lecture, and recommended it to my students. So it's really awesome to have you on here today, because I'm like, oh, I've already recommended her books. So in the book, The Secret Language of the Body, you unveil the secrets to understanding the messages of your body and reveal the underlying mental, emotional, and energetic causes of the physical symptoms and the medical conditions. So for you, how did this process manifest? Like, how did you come to know this information to be able to publish this information? And can you give us some examples of the underlying energetics and emotional causes when it comes to women's health issues in particular, just because my audience is generally women's health?
Yep, definitely. Look, for me, it was really interesting because it's definitely not the book that I thought I would write or write first. And but I had I was seeing a lot of, I started very early, as I mentioned, and I was seeing a lot of clients from a young age. And I was seeing that because I was tuning into them, and I wasn't actually, when a client would show up, I would go, don't tell me anything. I want to find out. I want to hear the language of your soul, essentially, or the language of your body. I don't want to be told through your mind where it started, what's going on, mainly because I recognized that whatever was going on with a person right now was probably not where the issue started, unless it was maybe like a skeletal issue where they did something, and it was often even that there were things to look at. But essentially, I just felt like I wanted to really get to know this language of the body, and I wanted to understand whether it was the same for everybody. It doesn't matter, you know, where you were and what continent, what was going on. And the more I was doing distance healings and one-on-one healings live, I found that there were a lot of connections. They weren't necessarily completely the same, but there were a lot of connections. And then I felt very strongly about the person, like I did, taking charge. And what I would do is I would constantly write suggestions for them as homework, for things to do. And what I found was that a lot of people would come back and they, you know, and I'd go, are you, you know, how'd you go with the homework? And they would be like, yeah, well, like, you know, I lost my piece of paper. I was busy, and, you know, and there was all a lot of excuses. And, you know, there was a feeling inside of me of frustration. And I also felt like at that time there were maybe one or two books that I was familiar with, like Louise Hay's book, and maybe another one that's Yeah, that's very that had not a lot of information in it, let's just say. And for me, working with people in depth with layers of trauma, emotions, challenges from the past, it wasn't really enough, and the exercises were more like affirmations. So as much as I appreciated that work, I was like, this is just, it's not deep enough, and I need something more at this time. And I think it was deep when it first came out in the 70s, but at that point it was like, oh, is there something around? And I always look before I start writing things, if, you know, what's my reason for writing this? And there just wasn't, and there really wasn't. And even if there were things that gave you some insights, they were very short and not necessarily, and I wasn't really sure where people got it from, because that's not necessarily the results that I was getting or what I was seeing. So, you know, I felt for my students at the time and clients, it was quite confusing. And I was like, you know what? If it doesn't exist, create it. And I was already, I already started teaching for quite a few years by that stage, even though I was young. And I, again, I just kept seeing and getting feedback that, you know, that people were going, oh my God, this is, I really see this, I really understand it, and it makes sense to me, it's me. And then I met a publisher, and he basically said, look, if you want to write a book like this, I reckon it'll be a bestseller and I'll publish it. Because again, you know, there were so many components that I wanted to put in that I'd never seen, like emotions, like color, like processes for each part of the body that combined everything, the Eastern and the Western medicine, so to speak, that were holistic. So that's kind of how it happened. And it was really, most of it was just from experience and seeing people and having really good notes, right? And tuning into them, and then tuning into diseases as well, because obviously there were some that I wasn't sure about. But again, I then had a lot of feedback and I'd contact people who had those issues. So it was a very profound project. And then your question about women's issues, well, I feel like it's quite interesting, you know, that if we're looking at, in particular, at reproductive issues and how they show up, from my experience, there's two very clear patterns that happen. One is a denial of your feminine nature, usually in teenage years, which we're seeing, you know, happening more and more in, you know, different ways. And the more I kind of, if people don't understand that we have both the feminine and the masculine, then they essentially start going, well, I want to be more feminine, or I want to be more masculine, so I'm going to deny it. But they don't necessarily, you know, I'm going to deny one and I'm going to try and amplify another. But they do it often in a very materialistic way, as opposed to an internal way, which is where it's important. So like, I can put nice makeup on, a nice, you know, and do my hair and put a nice dress on, doesn't mean I'm actually connecting to the feminine in any way or form within myself. And so what I found was that there were issues like around teenage years where, like myself, even though I didn't have feminine issues, but like myself, a lot of women kind of, or girls have gone, I'm seeing my mom, she's not being treated well by my dad or by society in general. I want to be more masculine, because masculine people get things done and they are treated better and they make decisions. And so then there's this suppression and denial of this feminine, and we see it everywhere in terms of, you know, pretty much every song that's come out from 2000s is a very masculine, you know, woman in a, you know, feminine body. And so we have this, okay, I want to succeed, I want to do things, feminine looks weak and horrible, and, you know, and all of this. So we have this denial, which can lead to, you know, period pains, like PMS, you know, hormonal imbalances, can lead to all sorts of issues around basically any part of the female reproductive system. A lot of women with breast issues. Again, there's a, if it's depends on the side that we're looking at. So if it's on the right side, these are usually women who make things happen. They've hardened themselves. They focus a lot on their business. They're like super women. They're just trying to do, you know, nonstop, and they never really come back and soften and allow things and, you know, and give back to themselves. And then when it's on the left side, there's a, often a lot of mother issues and or daughter issues or issues around, you know, themselves as being a mother, and issues around being intuitive or denying their intuition, and denying their softer feminine nature, and just not listening and not giving themselves time to do anything that's really that nourishes the feminine. And that's the biggest thing, right? It's like, if we're going to look at masculine and feminine, we have to look at what strengthens and nourishes those parts of you and what weakens them.
Absolutely. And there's absolutely no denying that the mind, body and soul are intricately connected, and what affects one affects the other. So I think it's so important to always, beyond the physical, look at what else is going on with those energy bodies that we explained before. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's just such interesting work. And I love how, you know, when you go through all of the different aspects of women's health, it just allows you to go a little bit deeper into these other areas you may not have a thought of, and being able to heal on a really holistic level. So with you've just published another book. Well done. Congratulations, Modern Spirituality. So I'd love to know what your definition of modern spirituality is, and how does it differ from the traditional sense of spirituality?
Well, it's a good question. And I feel like there's a few things to be aware of. You know, I feel like in each time period, there's either more need for divine connection, or we're kind of moving more into science or materialism or other things, and spirituality can go, you know, we kind of push it to the side. And I feel like having studied quite a lot around evolution of humanity and different time periods, we're in a time period where, on one hand, we've had an opportunity for more spirituality than ever before, you know, as opposed to religion. And on the other hand, it's also been attacked and suppressed and put into this category of, you know, we're in survival mode. We just have to do the things that we've got to do that are money driven, materialistic, that, you know, we need more and more and more of stuff. And so even though we've had more spirituality, I feel like it became very surface-based. So it's almost like, I love everybody and this is my spirituality, you know, which has become this whole new age way of being, like the more simple, the better, you know, the easier, you know, easy, fast, quick, instant. Mm. And I've looked at that and I've kind of gone, well, easy, fast, quick, instant is great for marketing, you know, but is it actually great for spirituality and for understanding that, who am I? I'm, you know, I'm a complex, deep, profound being that, as you've said, you know, whether we look at it from Ayurveda or we'll look at it from Chinese medicine perspective, or we'll look at it from spiritual, you know, from Western spiritual perspectives, we have subtle bodies, and it doesn't matter how we call them, you know, and within these subtle bodies, they're subtle bodies, you know. And so when we start to go, well, if I want to know who I am, I'm a complex being and I'm an interesting, fascinating being, so why do I need to dumb myself down? So to me, in writing this book, there was a lot of questions and, you know, and kind of giving people an opportunity to really think about in now, do I, you know, that I have to make decisions and hopefully, you know, this is a lot about free will and free choice, freedom of choice, because this is part of our evolution. What is my spirituality? And with all the ways that I'm being minimized and weakened and attacked through the media to just be in fear, what is the role of spirituality for me, you know? And in modern times, where especially in the last few years, where essentially there's been so much done to shut your voice down, to disconnect you from your own sense of self, from your own intuition, from your own divinity, with the idea of like either it doesn't exist or you're told what to do, you're told how to live. And, you know, I'm very passionate about this. So for me, modern spirituality is looking at what's going on right now, as opposed to, I feel like old way of being spiritual is that somebody tells you what spiritual is, you know? So you kind of, whoever it is that you think is, you know, holy or important, gives you the understanding of spirituality. But right now I feel like we've got to reclaim it, and it has to become our own, right? Our my own discovery, my own idea, my own freedom of choice of to choose that, as opposed to where religion has kind of pushed itself onto us. It's like, what do I want to explore? And essentially, there's a lot of questions that most people have never thought of, you know, that I've put into the book for that exact reason, to go, can you really start asking questions, and how are they relevant to you? And let me show you why they could be relevant to you right now, with everything that's going on in your life, as opposed to a generalized, you know, here's how we meditate, here's how spirituality works, here's, you know, how angels or archangels or whoever else works, and you've just got to accept it. I'm saying, don't accept anything, ask questions. Here's a lot of, you know, years and years and years of study that I've done. So here's some of my perspectives. And again, they're, my perspectives are a lot deeper than what are in the book, because, you know, we can spend, you know, months talking about them. But essentially it's like, this is an opportunity to go, let's reclaim a spirituality by having the opportunity to look at all the different perspectives and decide what is it that really inspires me right now, and, you know, and how can I think deeper into some of this?
And I think modern spirituality is such an interesting topic, because I do feel like it has become, I guess you could say, on trend lately, and so people are becoming more quote unquote spiritual and doing like the spiritual things, like you mentioned, the meditating and the lighting the incense and all of those type of things, which are wonderful and great, absolutely great for your mental health. But I also feel there is a lot of spiritual bypassing and a lot of people hiding behind that banner that I wouldn't personally call a spiritual acts or spiritual way of being. And I've noticed that in the last few years, and it actually, you know, a couple of years ago, made me even want to hide the spiritual side of myself, because I was embarrassed and ashamed of the spiritual community that I did have connections to. Because for instance, like we are all on this journey for ourselves. We're here, we're human beings, we're spiritual beings, but we're here to grow and evolve and learn these lessons. And for me, what I was seeing is these self-proclaimed spiritual gurus were being extremely judgmental to the rest of society and telling everyone that they're not awake and they're not awake enough and they're this and then that, and everything coming out of their mouth was just judgment, which is the the Antichrist of spirituality. Like we're meant to allow people to evolve and to grow and to be understanding and compassionate and to listen to what people have to say. But again, like you said, ask yourself the deeper questions. Does that align to me, to my spirituality? Does it resonate with me? But without having to push such a harsh agenda. And also like making up some untruths to have people come on your quote unquote spiritual side. So it's been such a conflicting time for spirituality, I believe, the last few years, because it's really been taken out of context to what the soul of how I see spirituality is. And that really is that innate wisdom. It's that joy, it's that peace, but it's also being really being able to be grounded in that chaos as well. And it's being able to be a good spiritual human being and not passing on so much judgment, allowing people to evolve at their own pace, maybe supporting those people. So I think, it is such an interesting topic at the moment. And I think everyone has different views of what spirituality is actually. So I always love to ask what it means.
Yeah, if I can just add to it, I think that is so important because for me it was really interesting because I was actually married to a man who was proclaiming to be this spiritual guru for a while, and I felt like he was on a more spiritual, I guess, highway, you know. So he was like, he was driving a sports car, and I just kept going, oh my god, like, everybody who does that crashes. And it's great to have all this access to, you know, this spiritual knowledge, but it's also dangerous if you don't have a foundation, which this person who, you know, was writing a book about being a psychopath, you know, or overcoming, so he said, was essentially, and, you know, and my thing was like, well, can you save and heal and transform somebody who's, you know, as dark and has come from such a dark place as this person, but is trying to, you know, show that, you know, they've been the victim, you know, and can we help them and can they actually become this amazing guide? And what was really interesting for me was that as I was listening to you, some of the things he said to me at the end was, you know, at the end of our marriage, I said to him, look, he asked me if we could continue to work together. And I said to him, look, with everything I've known and discovered about you, the answer is probably no. And he said, well, that shows me your lack of evolution and, you know, the fact that you haven't grown, because you should, you know, you should be able to be teaching with somebody that you have separated with. And I was like, that's totally fine if that's what you believe, you know. And there was a slur of, you know, how superior he was to me and so on. But what was really interesting for me was that a few months later, I was actually at a friend's house and we were looking at one of his favorite books, which had talked a lot about initiation, another huge word in the spiritual domain. And it was talking about, I think it was 8 or 10 steps that it took. And all of them were not about being this spiritual, amazing human that knows everything, but they were really foundational steps about, you know, are you able to be healthy, you know, in your mind and your body? Are you able to treat people lovingly? Especially people in your family, and how do you have an ability to be kind and selfless and open-minded? Which was what was really interesting for me was that it was the first time I'd read this book, and I'd read it many times before, where it dawned on me, oh my god, there was none of the foundational boring stuff, you know, that he actually did, and not just him, majority of the people in that community as well, they did hardly anything. They knew information that would blow your mind, But in terms of the actual foundation of what does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean to be kind, to be caring, to be giving, to, you know, there were all these words, but no actual action was taken. And this was a little bit of a wake-up call for me as well at the time, because I was like, you know, I actually do these things because I want to do them. You know, it's not, I want to be spiritual. And so now I've got to, I have a list and I do these things, you know, and there's times I'm not as conscious as I could be. And, you know, the people who are, I surround myself with people who are very happy to tell me those things, you know, but also lovingly, as opposed to, you know, this person. But it's fascinating, like you said, there's so many people, and in the separation, it really made me question, like, you know, what, like you said, what does it really mean? And even, you know, with writing this book, do I even want to write it? Is it something that I should even write? I can tell you that with my publisher, there were at least five times where I said to her, look, I don't know. I don't know if I want this book out. I don't know if it's the right book. I don't know if this is, you know, like it makes me feel on one hand, really excited and passionate, but on the other hand, vulnerable of how people are going to use this information. And I'm like, give it back. I'm going to work. I'm going to change it again. And she was like, let me read it again. No, this is good. You know, we would like to publish it. So yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, no, you're so right. It's really about honoring those foundations. And often people just want to get to that, what they perceive as that higher realm or that higher ranking, when there's no ranking in spirituality. Like, that's ridiculous. But I can definitely envision what that looks like for some people, thinking they're on that spiritual pathway when they haven't even just looked at the foundations of that.
Yeah, so, well, there's people who have more, you know, they show those qualities more and they have an understanding, and there's people who just talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. There's, you can get all the information in the world, but until you're implementing it yourself, that's where the real wisdom comes in. So you can sprout off everything, you can read all the personal development books in the world, but if you're not actually embodying that, if you're not actually taking that information and implementing it into your own actions, then it's really useless. It's just another fog up of your mind, really, of words. Like you mentioned before, when you were a child, you were always really curious. And it reminded me that when I was a child, I was always asking those really deep questions, which I felt were beyond my time as well. And I would often stare at myself in the mirror and ask, like, who am I? Who am I really? Like, where did we all come from? Where did I really come from? Like, obviously I know my mother birthed me, but yeah, like, how, where, and where did this world come from? I was always like confronted with these big questions, obviously could never really answer at the age of like 8. So how does your research into this topic answer those questions? Could you finally answer them for me?
I think it's quite complex, to be honest. And for me, the research has been through, I've looked at the Eastern understandings, I've looked at the Western understandings, and I've really kind of looked at detail. So I'm one of these people who maybe is a little contradictory in some ways in my general life. I'm, you know, I can be quite messy and stuff, you know, as my partner would tell you. But when it comes to spirituality and healing, because I have a lot of skepticism, to be honest, and, you know, and I've seen so many different things and I've met so many different people, I have this thing about discernment and details. And I feel like the more details you have, that actually align, the more things make sense, right? So it's like I need a lot of detail. And so my in studying from so many different perspectives, I mentioned earlier on that I was really, really inspired by the work of Rudolf Steiner. And originally, when I looked at his work, when I had a little child, I kind of went, oh, the Steiner schools, that's it, right? Oh, there's biodynamic farming. Okay. And then there was a moment where I met a teacher in Melbourne, and she kind of, to be honest, I was in her house and it was so pure, like energetically. I'd never been to a house like this before. And I was like, I'm curious, what do you do? You know? And she started talking about the work of Rudolf Steiner, and I kind of went, sounds old, to be honest, and difficult. I don't know if I'm interested. That's the honest truth. And then she said a few things about the chakras, actually. And I had been teaching and studying the chakras and so on. And she was talking about, you know, how the importance of working, if we're going to work with the higher beings, of working with the chakras, not from the bottom up, but from the up down, from, you know, higher, lower. And I was like, okay, I'm curious, something to think about. And then I started looking into something that Rudolf Steiner created, which was spiritual science and anthroposophy. And again, looking at it not from, I'm just going to believe anything I hear, or anything I read, because luckily I had a lot of other studies before, but more like, show me the connected pieces, show me how things connect. And over time, whilst initially I had massive resistance, because this is not New Age, right? This is not New Age type of fluffy knowledge. This is very deep and very complex. And I kind of started going, hold on a sec, there's things that are changing and shifting within me and are making sense. And, you know, to answer it in a few minutes, it wouldn't give it, you know, the, I guess, the substance that there is. And I do put a very, very surface-based, you know, little info into my book about how the only thing I can say really is that I feel like if we can understand that a CEO, for example, right, doesn't do everything but has a lot of people helping them, and, you know, and some people are managers and some people are on the phone and some people are doing all sorts of things. From my 10 years of study of this, particularly, what I've gathered is that God or Source or whatever name you want to call it had this desire, maybe, or a feeling of what would it be like to create a free, loving human race, right? With the word freedom as the most important thing. And would this human race realize that there's something higher than a divine? So when we say higher, we mean like divinity, than just the physical world. And would they open their hearts and from their own desire want to become good, want to help and love each other? But the only way we can do that is to give them the different options and the different possibilities. And over millions of years, from my understanding, there were different higher realms of beings, you know, and we've heard of angels and archangels and archai, and then there's exousia and so on. And these beings had jobs, and some of them had jobs, you know, to create a particular atmosphere in the world, and some of them had jobs to create the etheric body or the astral body. And like you mentioned, there's the mental and the emotional that are part of them, and the ego and so on, and a physical body over, again, millions of years of evolution. And when human beings first came down to this planet, so to speak, they weren't how we are now, right? They were completely different. They didn't have the same abilities that we have now. They didn't have the same education. So for me, it's been such an incredibly fascinating journey of looking into this kind of anthroposophical, spiritual, scientific study of who were the beings that helped us? Where did we come from? Where are we going? Why, you know, what's the difference between us and the angelic realm? And You know, and why, yeah, what, how does this all work? And so I just feel like, you know, I could talk about it for probably years in the different things, but I hope it just gives you something.
Yeah, thank you. You did just bring up an interesting question that I'm sure a lot of our listeners are wondering after this conversation is, you know, we spoke a bit about the evolution of humanity and where we're at. We're in this modern sort of spirituality state. You spoke about where we have come from all of these different types of beings to then now manifest into the human being. But you then said, like, where are we going? So where do you believe we are going as a human race?
I really honestly believe that we're, you know, I was thinking about this last year in particular when there was a lot of talk about the 7 billion people on the planet and all sorts of other, you know, conversations around it. And I was like, why do we have 7 billion people right now? And what's it for? And I actually feel personally, again, from my research, that we're in a time choice. We're in a time of facing the shadow. From my understanding, we've come out of the dark ages, but we're at the time of evil, which we can see everywhere in essentially, you know, playing out in the world. But what does that actually mean? And to me, it means that, you know, you have to come back within and go, what shadow aspect am I ready to look at within myself and face? And what light aspect, or what, you know, beautiful, divine, empowered aspects am I willing to unlock and refine and bring into the world at this point? And so I really feel we're on the precipice of every single person in some way has to make a choice, and not making a choice is a choice as well. You know, so there's that opportunity of how conscious can we become? I also feel like if we look at history, a sense of I am, and again, this is why the ego has been attacked, has been quite weak, because we've always gone, you know, who can we listen to? You know, is it going to be the Buddhist monk? Is it going to be the, you know, the priest? Is it going to be the rabbi? Who's it going to be? You know, and is it going to be the spiritual teacher that I have? And I actually feel like we're in a time where it's got to come back inside, and it's got to be like, I've got to be my own spiritual teacher. And yes, I can learn from other people and gain a lot, but I have to make the choice and discernment, and I have to act. So I have to think, I have to feel, I have to act within my own freedom. And so I feel like that's where we're at. We're at a time of discovering, you know, what does freedom mean? And I always feel like it gets things that are in conflictual, and you know, where they're being tried, you know, we can see we're having limited, more and more limited freedoms unless we speak up, stand up, do something about it. Because that's the time of freedom, right? So it's like, it's got to kind of show up. It's the time to choose. We have, you know, the media has gone crazy in the last few years trying to tell you how to think, how to feel, what to believe, because we have to learn how to do that ourselves, you know, and it's the time for that.
Absolutely. It's really, yeah, the time for a lot more self-awareness. And as I say, that self-awareness is self-empowerment. And that's where you really want to be, because that leads to infinite possibilities of what you can do, who you can be, you know, stepping into that higher self. So thank you so much. This has been like a really interesting conversation. And I just have one final question for you about being able to embrace the modern world we're in instead of being fearful of the future and everything that has gone on. What are some practical ways? Like, how can we nourish our soul to just really embrace where we're at the moment and get us started on that? We're not starting on that spiritual journey, because we're spiritual beings, we're already on a spiritual journey, but ask ourselves those deeper questions, or just sort of move forward on our path to nourish our soul more in this modern spirituality time?
I think the biggest thing is that you have to give yourself permission to have time. You know, if you're going to run around constantly doing stuff for everybody else, especially as a woman, and never give yourself any time, it's impossible. But if you start simply by, you know, even placing your hands on your heart and actually asking on a daily basis, is my heart open and expansive and nourished and strengthened and giving, but also how good is my heart at receiving? How good am I at receiving love? Because that's much more vulnerable and much more difficult, right? How good am I at receiving love back, at receiving nourishment, and giving myself the time for nourishment? What does that look like for me, you know, on a daily basis? What does it look like for me today? And so I actually feel like the morning time is probably one of the most important times of the day when you wake up and go, what is it that I can do to strengthen myself? What, you know, what spiritual help do I need today? And actually pray, ask for it. What does my heart feel? What does my heart need? What do I, you know, asking a lot of questions, what do I need to be the best version of myself today? And that could be the simplest thing from, I'm going to put a song on in the shower and just move to it and be and listen to this song that's loving and supportive and just receive that. It might be I'm going outside and spending half an hour looking at my garden or if I have one, you know, or going for a walk in the park. Or it could be I'm having a bath tonight and, you know, I'm going to read a book, you know, a spiritual book, or I'm going to journal. What it is to me is, you know, having a practice of self-care, of self-love, of self-nourishment. But it always comes back from what, you know, does my heart feel numb? Does it feel squashed? Does it feel tense? And if it does, I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to do something towards it, right? Even if it is a moment of breathing and imagining a, you know, pink or a green color coming in. It's like, how much do you give back to yourself? And, you know, there's so many things that nourish the soul: creativity, painting, looking at paintings, movement, beautiful music, love, connecting with other people, just giving back, like I said, to yourself, asking questions, sending love back to yourself, doing meditations, all of that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom today and answering some of those big questions that we have on our mind about spirituality. It's been a really interesting conversation to have with you. So thank you. Where can our listeners find and purchase your books?
So, but Modern Spirituality is obviously the book that we've talked about, but another exciting thing that's coming out is actually Healing Heart Oracle, which is a completely different oracle deck on healing different parts of your heart. And obviously I have 8 other books and card decks and so on. But the easiest thing is to go online or to a shop. I actually, you know, to be honest, I'm big in supporting shops, that bookshops essentially, and actually going into a bookshop and ordering the book not only helps the bookshop stay open, but it helps the author, and it's beautiful and it's respectful. So you can literally go into any bookshop and order any of the products. Obviously, if you don't have bookshops around you, you can order them online, and you can go to my website innersiegel.com, and there's a lot of different things that we also do. Like we do a lot of free online classes where people can start to learn and connect and explore all the different things we've been talking about as well.
Thank you so much. And I'll have those links in the show notes as well. Thank you once again. And I hope you really enjoy your afternoon. It's both the afternoon for both of us. We're both in Australia. I was just saying, I haven't had many Aussies on the podcast lately, so we're in the same time zone, which is nice.
It is. It's beautiful. And thank you, Harmony. Really appreciate your time and sharing.
Welcome. If you missed the intro and jumped straight to the episode, don't forget that my Ayurveda Alchemist program is open for enrollment via application. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda lifestyle and wellness coach and will help you up-level your health and wellness business. You'll gain access to the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda and graduate with a knowledge of how to incorporate this timeless wisdom and holistic framework into your business so that you can create greater impact and boldly step into the high-level practitioner you know you can be. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the life of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.